Coming up in this episode,
about brotherly bonds, the scars of war, and it touches on the rural-urban divide in Georgia and has a vivid sense of place.
I wanted to create a character that pays homage to all those veterans that I've talked to and taken notes from over the years.
Okay, so how did you handle all of this masculinity in this book?
Are you asking if it triggers me? This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Orlando Montoya.
And I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind the stories mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge. Hey, Orlando, we are back.
We're back and we got another book.
What book is it today?
Today we are talking about Secrets of Ash by Atlanta writer Josh Green. This is his debut novel. He's written some short stories before, but Josh Green, he is editor of Urbanize Atlanta. That's an online publication that talks about real estate, urban planning, retail, residential, commercial developments, that kind of thing. But he has written this harrowing rescue drama about brotherly bonds, the scars of war, and it touches on the rural-urban divide in Georgia and has a vivid sense of place. The story is set in Atlanta, specifically Buckhead, and in North Georgia mountains. And I found myself racing through it to see how it ends, especially the last half.
Love a good Buckhead rescue drama. So who's being rescued here?
So the rescue is sort of set up from the very beginning. We have two brothers, Jack and Chase. They're very different, but they have similarities. They have different lifestyles, but they're similarly troubled. One of them gets into trouble. And let me tell you about the two personalities first.
Okay.
Jack, he's a radio personality, sports jock, one of these big flamboyant personalities on air. He drives flashy cars. He lives in a flashy Buckhead condominium. Alcoholic.
Okay.
Womanizer, playboy. He's got a secret child that he's not talking about. And he's just mean and rude to people.
You said troubled. You weren't kidding.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's at risk of losing his job because he's basically a jerk.
Then the older brother is directly inspired by a wild man radio, sports radio personality, Mike Bell in Atlanta. I think people have told him that. But I used to have a long commute home. I used to work in Gwinnett County, and I always lived in the city. I'd come back home into the city, and just his antics online. I know he's a controversial figure, but I really found it entertaining. I think the guy's really talented.
Do you know Mike Bell?
I don't know Mike Bell, to be quite. But I should say I only moved here 3 years ago. You only moved here 2 years ago, so.
Atlanta people must know Mike Bell, especially if you listen to commercial radio, which I don't. I'm public radio, ride or die.
We will assume that Mike Bell is a fantastic personality on air.
Okay.
So it's fashioned after him. Now, the younger brother is Chase. He's an Afghanistan war vet. And this guy, he experienced all the horrors of that war. He saw guys getting killed. He killed guys himself. He's haunted by the war, haunted by his childhood trauma as well. And after the war, he moved to Atlanta. He couldn't make it in the city, though, so he couldn't hold down a job. And so he takes his disability checks, and he moves to a small North Georgia fictional town called Cherokee and the fictional county of Ash. And we can call them fictional towns, but we can kind of maybe
kind of figure out the real life counterparts.
You know, maybe it's Clayton, maybe it's Young Harris, you know, it's up there somewhere. And Chase goes up there to sort of live quietly, but he's got alcohol problems as well. He also has problems with women. He gets in fights. He's a hellraiser. He gets in trouble with the law. But the sheriff up there kind of gives him a pass because the sheriff also is a war vet. I think he might have been Vietnam. But Chase, also kind of a jerk.
Chase, the younger brother, I've been a professional journalist by day for going on 20 years. And some of the first serious stories that I covered were War on Terror, vets coming back home stateside, and some of the stuff that they were dealing with. This was long before PTSD was a household word acronym. And I always find them, I found it fascinating, I found it terrifying, I found it troubling, but also really inspiring. And I wanted to create a character that pays homage to all those veterans that I've talked to and taken notes from over the years.
So you asked me the question, who ends up being rescued or who ends up in need of rescue? And I'll ask you, based on the two characters I've presented so far.
I mean, it seems like you're setting up something like a military rescue mission, right? Like, does the military veteran go save his civilian troublemaker brother?
The opposite.
The opposite. Okay. So, well, that's good, right? You want that in a book. You want it to sort of defy your expectations and go the opposite of the easy route.
Yeah. So Jack, the older brother, ends up having to rescue Chase, the younger brother. Chase goes off into the mountains with a gun, and his goal is to end himself. Military suicides, it's a real thing. The statistics are pretty sobering. In 2022, 492 service members died by suicide, according to the Department of Defense. And in 2021, more than 6,000 service member veterans died by suicide, according to the Veterans Administration. And we should say right now that help is available. Call 988, press 1, or chat online at militarycrisisline.net if you're having suicidal thoughts. But Chase goes off into the mountains. He's unreachable. He's off the grid. He's missing. He left a suicide note, and the search is on for him. But that sets up a problem because Jack is a city playboy. He's an Atlanta big shot. He knows nothing about the mountains. He knows nothing about compasses and fires and wilderness. So this is where we get introduced to a cast of local characters that he meets. The sheriff's deputy, a bartender, a minister, a guy named Pronto, and they sort of either help or hinder this search.
Okay, and I've seen narratives like this before. Stranger comes to town. How do locals react to this out-of-towner?
Yeah, this was something like your book a few weeks ago with, what was it called, Godfall?
Yeah, people coming from out of town to a rural place and making it not so rural anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, so these locals, some of them are warm to Jack, the bartender in particular, sort of becomes his girlfriend. And then some of them don't. The sheriff definitely doesn't like Chase or Jack. And some of them are kind of just morbidly curious about this big, fat, you know, Atlanta big shot. The deputy woman named McLaren in particular, she's one of the more interesting characters. She's kind of ambivalent. She could, you know, these people could die or not die. She doesn't, you know, particularly care. But, you know, all these characters have secrets. Every single one of them, even the minor characters, no one sort of escapes this book without some sort of moral question hanging over their head by the end of it. And I found that kind of refreshing. No real black or white characters. It kind of has you guessing, you know, who's going to do what. And all of it is sort of propelled by a very urgent sense of danger. Chase could die. And the whole story is very fast. It takes place over a matter of days.
Well, let me ask you this, because trying to prevent someone from dying by suicide, that sounds like a delicate act, not just a, you know, removing him from the means.
Well, they have to find him.
Yeah, they have to find him.
He's lost in the woods. He's written this note, and he's somewhere out there in the wilderness. So that's what it's like. It's like the search is on for Chase.
And what indication do they have that they're not too late?
Because it just happened. Like, it, like, oh, the note was left, and it's a couple days later. So
okay,
they think they can find him.
Okay, they're optimistic, as I guess any, you know, person would be about their loved one when they go missing. Okay, so it sounds like Josh Green has written a book that leans heavily on character and plot. You talked about a few key characters. So what are some of the key moments in the plot?
Well, Chase is alone in the woods, like I said, with a gun. He wants to kill himself, but there are obstacles. He gets tied up, literally, by some backwoods marijuana growers. There are bears and rocks and snakes in the wilderness type things. And Jack is trying to rescue him, but he has obstacles as well. Any number of places where this novel could have taken a different turn. And sort of reading the book, asking myself, you know, why didn't Josh Green make this turn or that turn? And so for those places, I will leave you to read the book to figure out. But I think the key moment for this entire story, though, is the father.
The father.
The father. Because over the course of these chapters, we learn their backstories. And the father, strict, stern, disappointed in his sons, especially with Chase, little love or affection. And so that's what I'm left wondering. You know, if the father had been different, would Chase have gone into the military? Would Jack have ended up this womanizing alcoholic, this sort of man-child radio personality? And that kind of brings up, you know, what I kind of also see as a main topic here, and that's masculinity. I asked Josh Green if he wanted this book to say something about masculinity, and he said absolutely.
Yeah. I suppose just to kind of shine a light on how ridiculous it can be when it goes over the top, and how corrosive and how poisonous it can be, you know, in the case of their father. But also when you, I guess on that same note, when Jack puts all of his, you know, his macho bravado aside and says, you know, I am trying to save my brother in a foreign place, the mountains, this rugged, rough, deadly wilderness that I don't understand at all. And I don't know what I'm doing at all. There's no man ego here. You know, I cannot conquer this. I'm not macho anymore. I'm not the dominant male. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm willing to risk everything just to try to save my kid brother. So I guess in a way that's a character overcoming that, and then the father character never really does.
Well, okay, so how did you handle all of this masculinity in this book?
Are you asking if it triggers me?
It would trigger me, I think.
It'd excite or offend me.
It would, I mean, because I'm always looking for, you know, male characters in books that are well-rounded enough and are thoughtful enough to ask for help when they need it as a bare minimum, you know? Or if is that...
These are great characters.
So they are, but there seems like they're struggling with it, right? Struggling with the idea of, okay, how much vulnerability do I allow?
Definitely. It just, you know, it's masculinity in the world. You know, one funny story is that when I was, I don't know where I found this out. Maybe Josh Green sent me a message or I was Googling for it online somewhere. But I found that Amazon had characterized this book in the category of men's adventure fiction.
Well, I guess you got to put it somewhere.
What the heck is that? You know, not a category I would have like sought out, but I loved the book. It moves fast. It's got danger, twists, characters that are. It's got great characters, empathy. It talks about serious problems, weighty issues, and the end is a surprise, not what I was expecting. It just kept me turning the pages all the time.
All right. So what gives it the narrative edge, in your opinion?
Well, all those things that I just mentioned, but also Josh Green himself, I got to say. I picked up the book for two reasons. Number one, it had this radio personality, and I kind of wanted to see what that was all about, and it was Josh Green. And he, as I mentioned, edits Urbanize Atlanta. He's a city geek. My boyfriend is a city geek. I'm sure we all watch the same urbanist YouTube videos about zoning and rapid transit.
We all do. I will say I read a lot more of Urbanize ATL before the paywall went up.
Okay, well, reminder, we have no paywall here at GPB, but I love Josh's work, and we didn't get to talk about city stuff, but I wanted to help spread the word about his fabulous book, his first novel, a true milestone for any writer.
The marketability aspect of it, you know, people have kind of rolled their eyes, you know, like, what is this real estate writer, you know, what people... I generally associate me as doing with for a career. What is he doing? Putting together this strange dark story. But I've been trying to do this since I was a kid. I've kind of naturally been drawn to fiction, and yeah, it's been a long, tough slog, but it's really starting to get rewarding. You know, in ways like this, just talking about it, you know, and here we are, and this is great. This has been on my laptop as a Word document through two literary agents, through, you know, 100 rejections from the big New York publishing houses and that, who didn't they gave a lot of compliments, but they said, you know, where does this fit in the publishing world? How can we market this?
How can you market it? Men's adventure fiction.
Men do read. We do read. Well, Orlando, thanks for telling me all about Secrets of Ash by Josh Green. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrativeedge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB News podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.
As you've learned here on Narrative Edge, Georgia's influence on the literary world is far-reaching. And the same can be said for the Peach State's influence on the agricultural world. For instance, did you know that more than 50% of all peanuts grown in the U.S. are grown right here in Georgia? Or that some of the finest cotton sheets on the planet are made by Georgia cotton farmers? Join me, David Zelsky, on the Fork in the Road podcast, and I'll introduce you to the farmers, chefs, artisans, makers, and bakers who all help power Georgia's agricultural economy. Find a Fork in the Road wherever you get your podcasts.